Well, thank you, Pat, for reading that psalm, and thank you, John, for the welcome. And we do bring greetings from our church in High Wycombe. High Wycombe, wait for it, Evangelical Baptist Church. Quite a mouthful. And we're so thankful that Keith's been able to come over and minister God's word to us. We're without a pastor. Do please pray for us that the Lord will provide and help us as a church. We, having come through some difficult times, that God will lead us forward in his plans and his purposes. From this building, apart from the fact it's falling down, it's a building that's really not been completed. And I remember when we used to stay in Karachi sometimes, there was a huge building quite near to where we stayed that had been started but not finished. The builders had run out of money. And perhaps we've started projects in our home and for some reason they're still ongoing. They haven't stopped. They haven't been finished. God has a great project. What is his project? His project is to make all things new. A new heavens and a new earth. And a new community of people from the whole world saved from the guilt, condemnation, and power of sin, transformed through and through with Jesus as their living head. So that for all eternity, God's people may proclaim his praise and display his glory. But it's a work not yet finished. Yes, Jesus did finish the work he came to do. But God's great project is still in progress. There are many yet to be gathered into God's kingdom. We are not yet like Jesus. We know that. We live in a fallen world where there is still suffering and death. And perhaps we wonder why it is we don't see God's kingdom flourishing in the world. Why is it that God's people in so many places suffer for their faith? And perhaps why is it that I am going through a tough time at the moment? Hebrews 11, that great chapter of the heroes of faith, we finish this with the first verse of chapter 12. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What race? The race of persevering faith. Yes, we are called to live a life of persevering faith in the Lord Jesus. And in our life of faith, we can find much encouragement from this psalm. For this psalm shows us the suffering servant's triumph of faith. The first thing we see is that faith is tested. Now, in Pakistan, the bricks had to be well tested before they were used for building projects. It's not Pakistan, as you can see. But we have a friend, Pakistani friend Victor, and his father ran a brick-making business. And he made the best bricks in the area. They were tough, they were tested, they were fit for purpose. And as we go through times of suffering, what is God's aim? His aim is to forge faith, isn't it? To forge our faith so that we can persevere in faith to the glory of God. As it says in 1 Peter 1, that our faith, that we might be found to praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. We know from the life of Job of old that Satan's aim was to destroy his faith in God. But what was the outcome? He said in chapter 42, I know that you can do all things. God had made his faith stronger. And in this psalm, David's faith is being tested. By this point, God had given to him very many encouragements to faith. Samuel had anointed him king over Israel. He'd been assured by King Saul's son, Jonathan, that he would surely be king. And then God had promised him an eternal kingdom. 2 Samuel 7:16. Your throne shall be established forever. But now what's happening in this psalm? David's faith is being tested in the fire of suffering. We don't know what incident this refers to in David's life. Was it when King Saul was pursuing him before David was crowned king? Was it when he had to flee Jerusalem when his son Absalom was seized the throne? Whatever the incident, David was experiencing great suffering. Look at verse 15. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. That was his physical suffering. And then in verse 7, we read these words. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Mocked and rejected by his people. But above that, his physical suffering, his emotional suffering, even forsaken by God himself. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Are you being tested this evening in the fire of suffering? Has some great challenge come into your life and your faith is being tested? And you wonder how you'll persevere. You feel like Christian when attacked, when Apollyon comes upon him and seems almost to overwhelm him. And we read these words. And then Apollyon, espying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall. And with that, Christian's sword flew out of his hand. And then said Apollyon, I'm sure of thee now. And with that, he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. Or perhaps you've been praying for some unsaved relative or friend. You see no sign of interest. You've been praying for years and years. In fact, there seems to be a hardening, and you struggle to keep trusting in the promises of God. Or maybe you've been praying for some people group in the world, and like Jacob of old, when the angel came upon him and wrestled with him, you've been wrestling with God in prayer. You've laid hold of those promises of his word, as we sang this evening, when every promise is enough for every step I take. You've laid hold upon God's promises, and yet nothing seems to happen. In fact, it may seem as if the work is going backwards. It may seem as if the church in that country you've been praying for has been overcome. But praise God, this psalm doesn't just refer to David, does it? As Pat reminded us, it is gloriously fulfilled in Jesus. In my study Bible, there are 25 references in the New Testament to this psalm, most of them in the gospel accounts of Jesus' sufferings and death. And Jesus' faith, like David's faith and like ours, is put to the test, but so much more severely. For as Jesus went to the cross, what was he trusting his Father for? He was a man of faith. He walked by faith, and he went to the cross as a man of faith, as a hero of faith. In the fourth servant song in Isaiah, we read these words in 52:13. See, my servant, what? Will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Jesus went to the cross firmly convinced that God would raise him from death and bring him up to his glorious throne in heaven. He was trusting his Father for that. What do we read at the end of that servant song? I will give my servant a portion among the great, or as Anik Mateo would say, the many. Verse 12 of 53. Jesus was trusting that his Father would give him a vast company of people, his reward for his work, to be his very own. And on the cross, in his physical, mental, and spiritual agony, his faith in these promises is being tested to the very limit. Do you remember how the religious leaders mocked him? He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. Matthew 27, 43. Psalm 22, verse 8. And then forsaken not only by the people, but his own disciples. Not only by his own disciples, but by God himself. These amazing words. Not a question. He knew why God had forsaken him. A cry of utter amazement, utter perplexity almost. My God, why have you forsaken me? Faith tested to the uttermost, but praise God, faith triumphant. Do you notice that change of tone that came, that Pat brought out as she read it at the end of verse 21 and reading into verse 22. The psalm moves from faith being tested to faith triumphant. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. These glorious future, very definite future tenses there, aren't they? I'm not a Hebrew expert, but I understand that there's something called the prophetic perfect. And Hebrew will describe a future event in the past tense because it's so important. I remember when we were in Pakistan and my translator had a bit of English, and we'd gone away for a few days and we came back and there was a note under the door. He'd written something in English. He said, I came to see you tomorrow, but you weren't there. If you know Urdu, kal can mean tomorrow or yesterday. and in Hebrew, you have these amazing, you know, it's so certain it's going to happen. It's in the past. I'm not sure if that's true here. But anyway, just to say that so certain was David. What a change of tone. Was he still suffering? Had God delivered him already? We don't know. In the Psalms, often deliverance is yet to come. But what a change of tone. Up to verse 21, his faith was fighting. He'd been recalling the faith of his fathers in verse 4. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. What about me? He'd recalled his own faith during his youth, verse 9. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. But here his faith is triumphant. No Farah, when he runs those races, he kind of jogs along, doesn't he, for 75% of the laps. It's hard work for him. But then what happens during the last 25% or less? Well, the competition just melts away, doesn't it? He's still running all out, but he just pulls ahead. The end's clearly in sight. And he can see that victory is in sight for him, just as it was for David. Look at the last line of the psalm. He has done it. Done what? Who has done it? The Lord, verse 30. What has he done? He has done righteousness. He has done it, righteousness. All that was right to do to save the suffering servant of David. With the eye of faith, David sees the end of the trial. But as we've seen before, this psalm is fulfilled in the life of Jesus. What were almost his last words on, I think, six of the seven sayings on the cross? Can you remember what they were? It is finished. One word in the Greek, tetelestai. It is finished. Well, you ask, how does that connect with this psalm? Listen to what Spurgeon says about the last line of the psalm. C.H. Spurgeon, that great preacher of the 1800s. It is finished. These were the expiring words of the Lord Jesus, as they are the last words of this psalm. Is that faith being tried? No. Is that faith crying out to God in perplexity and amazement? No. This is faith triumphant. The first line of the psalm was on the lips of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Faith being tested. But just before he died, his faith was triumphant. It is finished. He has done it. What has he done? Listen again to what Spurgeon says. Salvation's glorious work is done, paying the price of the sins of God's people, gathering out for God a great company of them. Look at verse 27. The confidence, the Lord Jesus, I do believe, on the cross, that confidence he had that his suffering was not in vain. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Yes, the Datki, the Palesi, the Sahu, they will bow down. There will be that great company from all language, tribe, and nation. And while still on the cross, Jesus utters that great cry of triumph. It is finished. The Lord has done it. He hadn't yet died, hadn't yet been raised, hadn't yet ascended to his Father in heaven, hadn't yet been glorified, yet by faith he sees that great worldwide company, redeemed by his own blood, turning in repentance to the Lord. So, dear friends, this evening, are you going through a trial of faith? Jesus has trodden that same path before you. His faith has been tested like yours, and he came through triumphant. Hebrews 12, of course, comes after Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11, the great list of the heroes of faith. Hebrews 12, the capital G, great capital H hero of faith. What does verse 2 say in the NIV? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Pioneer, what's a pioneer do? We had, when we were in Pakistan, one of our consultants was a lady called Marge Crofts, and she had done a translation in the middle of the jungle of Brazil. I think it was a two-day journey by boat, and then she lived right down there. She was a pioneer. She blazed a trail into that jungle, and she did her work there. Jesus is the pioneer of faith. He's trodden that path for us. He's lived that great life of faith. He's triumphed by faith. Listen to what one commentator says about the translation of these two words, pioneer and perfecter. The champion in the exercise of faith and the one who brought faith to complete expression. Praise God for that. And do you know, how many times does the word Christian occur in the Bible? Do you know, New Testament? How many? I saw four or five, yeah. Three times, okay? How many times does the word in Christ occur? Lots, yeah. Any guess? Well, 84 if you do a count. 84 times in Christ. Jesus, the great pioneer of faith, the one who brought faith to complete expression, we are in him. We are in him. And so the faith that he's worked out in this life, as a man, as the God-man, is the faith that he shares with us. And so that this evening we can come afresh to him, we who are in him, and find all the help that we need to persevere. The crown jewels, anybody seen them? Glorious. We went there a few years ago, had a great time. On display to show the glory of the monarch. Do you know, God has a far greater treasure to display. Remember those words in Malachi 3:17, where the Lord says that about his people, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. Listen to this, my treasured possession in the day when I act. What day? The day when Jesus comes back to take us to be with himself. And on that day, God will show openly to the whole world that we have not trusted in vain. He'll say, look at my heroes of faith, those who have persevered and triumphed and overcame, those who are in my son Jesus who overcame and triumphed. Is God testing your faith in some personal trial? He will bring you through. We didn't finish that bit about Apollyon and Christian, did we? But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his, what? Sword. Sword, the word. And caught it, saying, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. With that, gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back as one that had received his mortal wound. God will bring you through, brother and sister. Use his word, the sword. Give him a thrust, the devil one. See him running from you. Is God testing your faith for the salvation of a dear friend or relative? God is gloriously able to save. He's the God who does exceeding abundantly beyond what we ask or think. Is God testing your faith for a people group in the world? Verse 27 of our psalm. All the ends of the earth, what will they do? They will remember, probably a past tense, they will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. On one day, God's great project will be completed. All God's people will have been gathered in from every nation, every tribe, people, and language. And you will have come through those tests of faith. Faith will give way to sight. And we will see the triumphant Jesus, the one who overcame, in all his glory. And we will reign with him. Verse 28 of the Psalm. For dominion belongs to the Lord. Maybe there's somebody here this evening, you've not yet put your trust in Christ. Read verse 26. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Come to God's feast. Come to God's feast. Come into God's love and full pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And receive a faith that will bring you through those difficulties of life. Receive a faith that will bring you through death itself into eternal life. Yes, finished. The Messiah dies, cut off for sins, but not his own. Completed is the sacrifice. The great redeeming work is done. Praise the Lord. His project has been finished and will be completed. Let's conclude our worship by singing that great